Now, during our last lesson last week, I deviated a little bit from my prepared notes, and I ventured onto the subject of punctuality and its importance with regard to the body of Christ, that is, the church. The title of this lesson is Punctuality 101. And it's important, I think, at times to discuss this subject because this subject is a life subject. For in all of life, being punctual is a characteristic which will bring a success in any venture. There's a man named Charles Simmons said this, promptitude, another word for punctuality, we never hear that much, but promptitude is not only a duty, but is also a part of good manners. It is favorable to fortune, reputation, influence, and usefulness. A little attention and energy will form the habit so as to make it easy and delightful. Now another man, Samuel Smiles, said this, lost wealth may be replaced by industry, lost knowledge by study, lost health by temperance or medicine, but lost time is gone forever. Have you ever tried to recover time? You can't go back. We can't wrestle with time and get it back. It's lost forever. Now, there are many reasons. I mean, you can go online, you can study books and so on, but there are many reasons for being prompt. But the best reason is that it is the right thing to do, because it is the honest thing to do. Now, I remember a saying by Dr. Bob Jones Sr. that was very prominent in the church when we first started some 40-some years ago. But the saying was, do right. And it was added to, do right until the stars fall. You know, that's the admonition to a Christian is to do right. And one of the many reasons for being prompt is that it's the right thing to do. Now, last week's teaching on this subject was extemporaneous, hadn't planned it, it just came out, one of those things I pray about that won't happen. You know, I don't know if the pastor has in his prayer, please, Lord, don't let me go down rabbit trails that are unplanned. But I'll tell you, they come out anyway, don't they? And then you say, well, now, was that of the Lord, or was that just of me? But it was extemporaneous and brief, but its mention and prayer thereafter, after that session, I prayed about that, and I said, Lord, do you want me to go any further with this? And I prayed several days, and I felt it was the Lord's will that I would go further on this. So I'm considering today to go a bit deeper into the subject. So today I will expand on the subject of punctuality, for I think all of us require at times an awakening to the need to be punctual, whether it be at church, at work, appointments, or any venture where times are set. Now, punctual, that's one of those, another word that seems to be disappearing from our culture. And if you look at the words that are disappearing from our culture, most of them are connected with personal responsibility. If you say, well, I haven't heard that word for a while, it usually fits into the category of personal responsibility. You know, this isn't the age of personal responsibility. This is the age of other people's responsibility for you. Somebody else take care of me. You know, but instead we find ourselves in the age of personal rights. You know, what's your right? Oh, my right, I gotta have my rights. Well, what about your responsibility? Doesn't that go along? You know, doesn't Don't you have responsibilities? No, I just want my rights. But punctuality is being on time. It is a sensitivity to timeliness. Punctuality is very closely related to dependability and responsibility. It is related to the stewardship of our time and other resources. The stewardship of our time. You know, we're stewards. God says, I'm going to give you resources. Well, give me some money. Give me a house. Give me a nice car. Give me nice clothes. Give me food. No, he says, I want you to be a steward of time. It is also related to our love for others. For lack of it can show disrespect and cause frustration, confusion, and interruption of fellowship. You know, to be on time is to keep your word and proves that you can be trusted and regarded as a reliable person. Being on time shows that you can be trusted and shows that you are a reliable person and that if you say something, it'll happen. It shows that you respect the people that you're meeting and that you care as much about their time as your own. You know, we're to care for the things of others, are we not? More so than the things of ourselves. Isn't what the Bible says? Care for the things of others. And that has to do with their time. In other words, it demonstrates that you're not a selfish person who thinks he is more important than everyone else and that everyone else ought to wait around for him. Oh, I'm so important. You know, being on time demonstrates that you're not a selfish person and that you think other people's time is important also. It shows that you are diligent and dependable and that you do what you've agreed to do. It shows that you aren't completely self-absorbed. The pastor talked about being self-absorbed. You know, when you're a child, the whole world revolves around you. Isn't that true? I mean, when I was a child, I thought the whole world revolved around me. I didn't know about anybody else. I mean, I knew my family, but they fed me and they took care of me and housed me and so on. But when you're an adult, that's not to be. You're supposed to be diligent and dependable. It shows that you aren't completely self-absorbed. Now, when you entered this building this morning, you were given a church bulletin, were you not? Now, that church bulletin is full of information about events where start times are listed. It says 9:45 Sunday school, 11 o'clock morning worship, 5:30 prayer gatherings, 6 o'clock evening service, 7 o'clock Wednesday night service. Now, notice that only start times are given. And therefore, it is assumed that start times are important. Now, preachers don't give end times. But they give start times. So what does that tell you? That start times are important. Those times, along with other times in your life, are given as corner posts in life. You know, corner posts are where you make a change in direction. They help you to determine where to go. Morning worship is promised at 11 o'clock, and that promise ought to be honored by being present and accounted for by 11 o'clock. Now, those who conduct the service are as responsible to honor the starting time as those who attend the service. Don't you think that's true? Those times are like a contract. Oh, here's the contract. It's in your bulletin. There's the contract. We start at 11. That's the contract. Those who serve do their part, and those who are served do their part. Now, the most indispensable qualification of a cook is punctuality. The same must be said for your guests. Now, in the grand houses of the past, the kitchen staff who prepared the meal expected those who were to eat the meal to be there at the appointed time, for the meal is only perfect at one time. Now, you ladies who cook, is that true or not? Oh, how, you know, that would be such a disturbing thing. I'm not a cook. But that would be a disturbing thing. Okay, it's the crescendo of the orchestra in the kitchen. And I direct this one. Oh, I direct the rolls over here, and I direct the carrots over here, and I direct the meat. And they're all coming to crescendo. And there's nobody there to hear it. But too soon, not done, and too late, cold. Now, for one to labor for a full day in preparation of a grand meal, and to have those who will eat the meal come late, is a great disappointment and borders on insult. Be on time. Now, God in His Word makes it clear that He desires His children to let all things be done decently and in order. That's another word that's disappearing, Phil. Order. You know, except down at McDonald's. Well, we don't have a McDonald's. May I take your order, please? Now, this directive of everything being done decently and in order is time-oriented, isn't it? Time-oriented. We live in time. Let all things be done in order is related to time. Time is to be used efficiently and without waste. Now, we are told in the epistles to the Ephesians to redeem the time because the days are evil. Now, this word redeem means to rescue from loss. Look at that. Rescue from loss. Oh, I'm redeemed. But not with silver. God rescued me from loss, didn't He? Well, in this case, there's a rescue time from loss. Don't lose it. It means use your time so that a profit will come instead of waste. Oh, how much we waste our time. In other words, don't waste the time God gives you, and don't participate in wasting the time of others. Now, let me give you some advice, and I don't know whether you'll take it or not. Maybe people are built this way. But I've always been a minute person. In other words, I capture my minutes. I'm not someone say, well, I'll do that Saturday. That takes too long. It takes 2 hours, and I only have 10 minutes. Well, why don't you do 10 minutes worth? You know, why don't you do 10 minutes worth? Capture your minutes. Take a hold of those minutes. God says don't waste those minutes. Now, none of us are perfect in punctuality. All of us will have an occasional lateness due to unforeseen circumstances. Isn't that true? I mean, none of us are perfect. When we go to heaven, we'll be perfect. We'll meet all our schedules. We'll be on time. Huh? Right. There's no time. So that's great. I can't be late. But what does the habitual practice of being late reveal? Is it a lack of concern regarding faithful service to the Lord? Is it a yielding to the pull of culture and its whatever mentality? You know, let this whatever mindset have its way, and it will have an adverse effect on the spiritual growth and health of the church body. If you let this whatever, that's one of the jobs of the pastor and the leaders of the church. Fight that whatever mentality. Oh, it'll come in if you're lax, if you're sleeping. You know, see how rapid things are changing these days. I wouldn't be surprised if one day I saw a church named the Living Church of the Whatever. You know, the marquee, the Living Church of the Whatever. You know, many churches these days have a traditional service and another one described as casual. You've seen that. Now, isn't it inevitable that this pattern will lead them to the church of the whatever? That's where it's headed. You know, come in your pajamas. Have your bed wheeled into the church. We'll bring the church to your bedroom. You know, whatever. Whatever makes you happy. Whatever makes you tick. Now, we have heard on many occasions that God is never in a hurry, but is always on time. You've heard that? I've heard that all my life. God's never in a hurry, but is always on time. Now, think about that statement, never being in a hurry. Now, were you in a hurry this morning? Are you habitually in a hurry? Are you always in a rush to meet a schedule or appointment? Now, are you a child of God? And if so, have you been made in the image of God? Think about the connection between those two. You have certainly been created in God's image, and as one born into the family of God, you are being conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, think about the connection with God never being in a hurry and the fact that you're born into the image of God. So what's the connection? It seems we ought not to be habitually in a hurry. For our Father nor His Son are never in a hurry. Well, I've got a lot of responsibilities. Well, everybody does. Everybody has 24 hours. Yeah, but I got a bunch of kids. Well, we all had kids, or most of us had kids, and you have to deal with it. You got to work it around. You got to figure out a way not to be in a hurry. Being in a hurry is connected to being on time. It seems clear that being in a hurry interferes with punctuality and promotes tardiness. Now, that's strange, isn't it? That's strange. It's true, isn't it true, that those who are habitually in a hurry are usually those who are habitually late? Now, that's kind of strange, isn't it? You're always in a hurry, but you're late. The people who aren't in a hurry, they seem to be there. So following the pattern of our Father, who is never in a hurry, but is always on time, we should strive to plan our use of time to never be in a hurry. Well, that's a tough chore. Well, let's see. Pastor, is the grace of God still active? Can you call upon the grace of God for this? Oh, no, you can't. You only can do that next month. No. The bank to the grace of God is always, the safe is always open. See? So we should plan our use of time to never be in a hurry. And this will be a lot easier if we remember to whom we are responsible. That's the key. Who are we responsible to? Well, I'm responsible to my boss. Oh. Oh, I'm responsible to my wife. Oh. Well, Colossians 3:23-24 says this, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. Well, I'm going to heartily not be in a hurry this year. As to the Lord, who are responsible to? The Lord. And not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Are you going to stand before your boss? Are you going to stand before your pastor? Are you going to stand before those that you relate to? No, you're going to stand before the Lord. Now think about this. If Jesus Christ were preaching in church today, right here in this very church, in this pulpit, wouldn't we all strive to be in our seats with plenty of time to spare? Boy, I'd sure be early. But you know, all of us would say, certainly. But we are to remember that those who do preach to us, are they not preaching in the name of Christ? Don't they stand in that pulpit in the name of Christ? Are they not servants of the Most High? Should not honor be given to those who preach God's word, those who serve the Lord Christ? They are to serve heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And you and I, in whatsoever we do, are also to do it heartily as if we were personally serving our Lord. That's the mindset that we're to have. Who are we responsible to? Now, what does it mean, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord? It means to do as if God were watching, because he is. God is watching. You know, Mrs. Hobbs, years ago when school first started, in the boys' bathroom, I don't know if she did it in the girls' bathroom, used to go to the bathroom in the boys' bathroom. Big sign. God seeth thee. God seeth you. Remember that? Thou God seest me. In the boys' bath. Well, you know what goes on in the boys' bathroom. She knew. She wasn't born in New Hampshire. She was born in Kansas. What's wrong? Okay, let me pick another state. Montana. She was born in Kansas. And she knew what these little boys are going to do. And it said, thou God seest me. You know, a little admonition to, I better behave myself. I better straighten up. But that's what it means. Do it heartily as unto the Lord, because God seest you. So as his children, we are to understand that every deed, whether small or great, is done for him and in his name. Now, taking on the name Christian, I love that name. I'm a Christian. Some say that means little Christ, and some say it means Christ-like. But you take on that name Christian means that Christ's reputation is at stake when you show up at work 15 minutes late or leave 10 minutes early or have a reputation of being known as a habitual latecomer. You think, well, that's my reputation. No, it's your Lord's reputation. Regardless of being right or wrong, people draw conclusions about your Savior from the way you do your work each day. Now, unfortunately, we live in the age of whatever. We live in the age of the casual. This is the age where many people think punctuality is old-fashioned. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that are old-fashioned that are still good. I'm old-fashioned. I hope I'm a blessing, even though I'm old-fashioned. You know, there's a lot of things that are being cast aside that should be brought into this age, but they're not. This is the age of don't sweat the small stuff. But for the Christian, there is no such thing as small stuff. You don't know. You think it's small stuff, but it could be big stuff. You think about what a testimony of a word led to in the generations to follow. You don't know where it's going to lead. Details matter, deadlines count, promises must be kept, assignments must be completed, orders must be filled, records kept, and bills paid. You know, Jesus Christ, at the young age of 12 years, knew this. For remember who, when he told his parents who were upset at his absence, he said this, I must be about my Father's business. Boy, what a lesson that is to us. 12 years old. Are your children at that level? I must be about my Father's. Now, it could be your business. You're the Father. Do they have that sense, I must be about my Father's business? Jesus knew that the blind man, Bartimaeus, would be at a certain place along the highway outside of Jericho on a particular day at a particular time. Remember that story? Jesus had an appointment with this man. Jesus kept the appointment, didn't have a modern vehicle, didn't have cell phones, didn't have email. You know, all of these things help people to be late. They do. They're intrusions in life. They're intrusions in life which keep you from your responsibilities on many occasions. But Jesus always kept his appointments, even the appointment with the cross. You know, he said, I've got to go to Jerusalem. I got to go to Jerusalem. Why? had an appointment. He is the perfect picture of a man who was never in a hurry, yet never late. He was totally committed to doing his Father's will, and he moved with purpose from place to place, always in place at the right time to do his Father's will. So one of the absolutes to do God's will is to be in the right place at the right time. As Ephesians 5:15 through 17, it tells us to look carefully at your walk. You know, it says also in the Bible, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Well, part of being in the faith is being diligent and dependable and being responsible. So the question you should ask ourselves, the question I should ask myself, do I have habits that guarantee tardiness? Simple changes in habits, like committing to be at appointments 10 or 15 minutes early, will make earth-shaking improvements in your life. Talk about changes in your life. The English Admiral, Lord Horatio Nelson, well, you know him personally, don't you, Paul? This is what he said. I owe all my success in life to having been always a quarter of an hour before my time. That's what he said, and he commanded that powerful navy when Britain was powerful, a world power. Now, having this kind of habit may even save your life and the lives of your family, as you are now able to obey speeding laws. Did you break any speeding laws this morning? And drive without the stress that rushing brings. You know, all of us know that being late adds unnecessary stress in our lives, and breaking the habit will remove stress, which will be good for you and others in your life. We are to live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and the witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. We're to make the most of our time because the days are evil. Boy, they're getting more evil. We don't have much time. And to waste time on foolish things isn't right. But God is telling us that the time we are given is very valuable and limited and must not be wasted. Remember Psalm 90:12 says this, so teach us to number our days. How many days you got left? Ryan, do you know how many days you got left? Don't know. Anita, do you know how many days? Anybody know how many days they got left? None of us know that. Now, do you know how many days that you have been on this earth? You all know that, don't you? Okay, how many days that you have been on earth have been productive? How many days fit into the wasted category? You know, that'd be some statistic to take. Every day you'd put a journal, wasted, productive, wasted, productive, you know? Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. In other words, we only have a certain amount of days left. We have a certain amount of days in our bank account, and we don't have access to the bank book. God has the access to the bank book. So teach us to number our days that we perhaps don't have time. Every minute is to be considered valuable and not to be wasted. And much of the time God gives us is for applying our hearts unto wisdom, and some of that is done in our church services. Now, the clock tells me my time's over. To be punctual, I need to stop. So I'm going to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness to us. Lord, you're the one that gives us the minutes, the hours, the days, the months, the years. And help us, Lord, to number our days. Help us to realize, Father, that every minute is a gift of God and that we ought to be productive. We ought to be profitable servants, not wasting the time on foolish things and even wasting the time on rushing, being unproductive. But help us, Father, as the body of Christ. And you know how you've given that to us to show us how the body is supposed to operate. Every body needs its left hand. Every body needs its right hand. Every body needs its eyes and its feet. And Lord, all the folks in this church are needed. Otherwise, the body suffers. When one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. So help us, Father, to be united in this effort of not wasting time and not being in a hurry and appreciating every minute that you give us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.